Part 1. Seen Through the Eyes of Jesus. Chapter 1. A Glutton, Drunk, and Friend of Sinners. "Will you pray for us? We need help." I stood in disbelief, trying not to show it, as Derek and Zoe approached me after a service. First, I could hardly believe they were at church. Zoe had only come once or twice, but even more amazing was her willingness to seek prayer and help. If you knew what I knew that day, you'd be amazed too. Zoe was a young mother of two. She longed to give her kids a better life than she had. I looked into her eyes, full of emotion, and I wondered what I should say. After all, she knew I knew she was living with Derek, and this was the first time I'd met her. But there's more to the story. I knew Zoe's story through Derek. I'd met Derek a year before. I was on my way to visit my mother when a voice behind me called, "Young man, wait!" I turned around to see an elderly woman racing her wheelchair down the hall toward me. "Aren't you the pastor of that church full of young people?" Yes, I am. I'm John. What's your name?" "I'm Susan, and my grandson's in the hospital. Will you visit him? It's really important because he just got out of prison and he needs to go to your church." You know, requests like these are always awkward. Probably the last thing her grandson would want is some unknown pastor dude showing up at his grandmother's request. I tried to explain that to Susan, but she was insistent. So I finally said that I would have someone go visit, even if I couldn't. The next week was my son's 13th birthday, and I'd planned a day-long man quest where we would complete a series of assignments that would teach him what it meant to be a man like Jesus. The quest for courage came first at the skate park, followed by the quest for compassion. I'd planned for us to serve at our food pantry, but it was closed. So in a panic, I prayed for some way to teach my son about compassion. And instantly, Derek came to mind. It turned out Derek was incredibly grateful for our visit to the hospital that day, and he shared with us how drugs landed him in prison. He had given his life to Christ and was given early hospital release that same month. We encouraged him that day, and he started coming to our church. Soon his brother and his father were also coming, and then Derek met Zoe several months later. They got sexually involved, moved in together. Until that morning, I hadn't seen Derek in months, but I knew of the mess he had gotten into. Derek's father informed me that Derek had really fallen in love with Zoe's kids the past 4 months living with them. And yet his relationship with Zoe was so tumultuous, at times it was borderline violent. And I knew from Derek's friend, Ted, that Zoe was not a single mom. Actually, she was still married to a guy who traveled a lot and didn't mind an open marriage. I knew the situation was horrible, but what should I do? All these things flashed through my head like lightning as the words, "Will you pray for us?" still hung heavy in the air that Sunday morning. I knew from experience that this was a moment pregnant with the potential to bring forth spiritual life or the potential for miscarriage. What I said, but even more importantly, what I held in my mind's eye and in my heart for these two people was critical. Will you pray for us? Is this what I should do? Is this all that I should do? What would you do? What would you be thinking? What would be in your heart? I've come to realize how critical the answers to these questions are for those who truly want to be like Jesus to the people around them. Mud or the masterpiece? If you talk to people who seem far from God, many tend to admire Jesus, but often they can't stand his followers. Jesus still has an intriguingly and mysteriously attractive pull on people, but many Christians create a repelling force. That's troubling, especially when you consider how the Derricks and Zoes of Jesus' day felt a magnetic attraction toward Jesus, but were repelled by the condemning religious leaders. In fact, Luke tells us all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near Jesus to listen to him. Luke 15:1. The Pharisee religious leaders called Jesus a glutton, drunk, and friend of sinners, says in Luke 7:34, to discredit him, mainly because Jesus had an enormous life-giving impact on so many.